Okay, so thank you very much for coming. We merit today to begin a new Masechta, Masechet Tzmura. So just as a word of caution, Tzmura is considered a difficult Masechta. It's almost considered like a Yerushalmi, that the language, a lot of Gersa changes, hard to know what's exactly being said. But okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll, in the merit of the community, we'll merit to hopefully grasp the Masechta, understand it, and acquire it. Of course, Masechet Tzmura is the sixth Masechet in Seder Kodshim, in the order of all about Karbanos. And this topic is mostly about the topic of Tzmura. Tzmura means a person trying to swap, trying to exchange. The Torah says in Parshas Bechukosai, Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oso tov bira o rabitov. That if a person, let's say, dedicates a certain sheep, he says, this sheep is an ola, I'm going to bring an ola. And then he's walking around and he says, you know what, maybe I won't bring this sheep. I'd rather eat this sheep, I'll bring something else as an ola. So he brings out another animal and he says, this other animal, zet muras zet. This animal's the swap for this animal. The ola should lose its sanctity. What is the ola? And the sanctity should go onto this animal and I'll go eat the other animal. The Torah says, don't do that. Lo yachlifenu, he's not allowed to exchange it. The lo yamiroso, he's not allowed to swap for it. And actually, the Torah says it's a prohibition, and it didn't even work. V'hayahu usmuraso yekodesh. Now both are holy. Both are holy because he tried to do it. The Rambam says that the Torah doesn't want a person to be exchanging what he thinks is a better animal for a lesser animal. That would be an insult to Hekdesh. And therefore, Hashem said, you're not allowed to ever exchange, even if you think you're making the worst better. And if you try to make the exchange, both animals are holy. So this is the concept of Tzmura. Tzmura literally means a swap, an exchange. There's a prohibition not to do it. The Torah says, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroso. You're not allowed to exchange that which is kadosh pektushas aguf, that which has intrinsic holiness, the sacrifice holiness, for another animal. Try to move the holiness off the sacrifice onto the other animal. You can't do that. And if you did it, both are holy, both have the status of an ola, and you get lashes for violating the Torah's law of lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oto. So that's the concept of Tzmura. And of course, the Masechta, being called Tzmura, deals mostly with Tzmura, but it deals with other things too. It deals with whether sanctity can spread through the body of an animal, whether if the Torah says not to do something and you do it anyway, does it therefore mean that it won't take effect? Let's say the Torah says don't marry a certain person. You did marry that person. Did the marriage take effect? Did it not take effect? It deals with the topics of animals that can't be brought. It deals with the topics of children of animals that are karbanos. But the beginning is this topic of Tzmura. So we begin with a sugya that we learned also in Erechin. The Mishnah says, Hakol Mimirin, everyone can do Tzmura. Everyone can do this swap, and when doing the swap, both animals become holy. Echad anashim, this applies to men. Ve'echad nashim, it also applies to women. Then the Mishnah says, Lo shadim rashay lahamir, not that a person is allowed to take his carbon animal and say, I'm swapping it out for another animal, it's going to lose its sanctity, that new animal is going to get the sanctity. You're not allowed to do that. Elishim Hamir, but if he did that, he took the carbon animal and he said, I'm removing the sanctity from the carbon animal and it's going to go instead to this other animal, and this other animal will be the offering. Mumar, it is Tzmura, the other animal becomes holy, this animal stays holy, the Sofik is Harboim, and he get lashes for violating the Torah's words, Lo Yachlifenu, V'lo Yamir Oso. Says the Gemara, this Mishnah itself has a contradiction. Hagufa, it itself, the language itself, Kasha, is a contradiction. Amrit, you say at the beginning of the Mishnah, Hakol Mimirin. So if you say Hakol Mimirin, everybody can do Tzmura, it sounds like, go ahead and do it. It's like, Think about chulin. Hakol shochten. Everybody can go do shechita. Means anyone can do shechita. It's fine. Everyone can do it. Everyone can go do tmura. Nobody can do tmura. The Torah says you're not allowed to do tmura. The Mishnah says itself says lo she, not that you're allowed to do it, but if you did it, you don't get. But if you did it, it takes effect. So one second, the Gemara asks this very question. A gufa kasha. This very word itself is a contradiction. Amarti, you said hakol meimirin. Everybody can do tmura. That sounds like lechatchila. As a first choice, go ahead and go do tmura. Anyone can go do it. Everyone can do it. Lechatchila as a first choice. One second, but then it goes on to say lo shadam rashay lahamir. Not that a person is allowed to do tmura, but if he did the tmura, then both animals are now holy. Diavad, if it was done. So the Gemara now asks, one second, that's your question. The Tisbara, you think to say this? Could you think to say, Akom Emir Lechatchila, everyone can do Tzmura as a first choice? Adakash Lach Masnisin, that you're asking from the Mishnah. Tikshilach Kra, there's a pasuk against that. The pasuk says, Lo Yachlifen of Lo Yamir Oso, you're not allowed to do Tzmura. You're not allowed to try to swap an animal which is holy for another animal. Elam Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda explain. The way to read the Mishnah is differently. Hakol Katani. What it means is Hakol Matfisin Bitmura. But when it's saying Hakol Mimirin, it means Hakol, anyone who does it, Mimirin. What they did was effective. Anyone who does this swap makes both animals now holy. The original animal stays holy, and now a second animal became holy. And the point being like this, hakol, everyone, not that everybody should do this, but hakol, anyone who did do this, mimirin, what they did would create tmura. Echad anashim, whether it's a man trying to do this, ve'echad nashim, or if it is a woman. It applies to all. Everybody can do it. If a woman owns a carbon and she does tmura, the other animal's also holy and the first animal's still holy. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, lo shadam rashay lahamir, not that you're allowed to do this, but rather, she'imimir, but if you did do this, mumar, the tzmura took effect, and v'sofeg, esarboim. And he would get lashes, he would get malchus. Yeah, question.
How does this work with maser sheni?
So there it's different, right? Maser sheni, you're allowed to podem maser sheni. You're allowed to remove the sanctity off the fruit, put it onto coins, bring the coins up to the Beit HaMikdash. There the Pasuk says, Vitzarta kesef biyadecha, you can take the money in your hand. But here, you're not allowed to. In cart, there's a difference because Maser Sheni, ultimately, you get to eat. But here, we're talking about a karban. Somebody made a karban, he made an olah, he made a shlamim, he made a karban, it really belonged to God. And now he's trying to flip it. He's saying, oh, not this animal, God, you're going to get the other animal. This animal I'm going to take back. No, you can't. Once you made a carbon, you can't do that. That's an insult. You try to do that, both now have to go to God. And there was a prohibition. There's a violation. That's the concept of tzmura.
Wasn't this in Chulin, the first line?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, we saw this Gemara before. Yeah. And now the Gemara says, the Mishnah said, as we learned back in Chulin, Hakol, it said everyone, the way we're reading it is everyone, if they did a tzmura, the tzmura took effect and both animals are holy. So, la suye mai, why, when it's using the word all, it's to include everything. So what is that including? Women we don't need to include because the Mishnah says explicitly that women who do tzmura, the tzmura has the laws of tzmura. So what was included by saying hakol, everyone can do tzmura? So, la suye mai, what is that to include? So, as Eli reminded us, we had this in Chulin as well. Li'isuye, it's to include Yoresh. If the person didn't make the initial sanctity, but he owns the sacrifice. How is this? Let's say you have a father, Yaakov. Yaakov takes a sheep. He says, Harezu Ola. This sheep is an Ola. And then before Yaakov has a chance to bring his sheep to Beit HaMikdash, unfortunately, Yaakov dies. So when Yaakov died, his children, his son, called the son Reuven, inherits whatever he has. So now Reuven inherited this carbon ola, but Reuven didn't make the ola holy, he just owns it. So now if Reuven takes this ola and says, you know, I have another animal, that other animal, zet tmurat zeh, zet chalifatza, this is exchanged for that. So now both animals are holy. The Ola stays holy, the other animal also becomes holy as an Ola. Even though the child didn't do the initial sanctification, he's just inheriting. The inheritor also can create the status of Tzmura. So that's what the Mishnah is saying, Hakol. Now who would disagree with that? Udalok Rabbi Yehuda. That's not like the view of Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, we know we have a rule, Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. A Mishnah that doesn't tell us who it is, it's normally Rabbi Meir. And so this Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir and against Rabbi Yehuda. It's not when we lived in a Mishnah, it's actually changed to a Braisa. The time we lived in a Braisa. Yoresh, if somebody inherits a carbon from his father dedicated an animal. Then the father died before the father could bring it, and the child inherited it. So when the child brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, so may. The child has to do smicha in the Beis HaMikdash. The child has to lean with both hands and all of his strength on the sacrifice as part of the service of the sacrifice. Another law, Yoresh, a child who inherits his father, Maymir, if he tried to do the swap. You have all the laws of Tzmura, both animals are holy. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's a view of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Yoresh, if a child inherits a karban, in other words, the child didn't make it holy, the father made it holy, but then the father died before he could bring it, so the child inherited it. Eino someich. He can bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, but it doesn't have an owner for him to be able to lean on it. There's no leaning done on it. Yoresh, and an heir, someone who inherits a karban, Eino Meimir, doesn't have the ability to do Tzmura. So Rabbi Yehuda holds a Yoresh, does not have the ability to do Tzmura. Rabbi Meir holds a Yoresh, does do Tzmura. The Mishnah says, Hakol Meimir, and everybody, when they try to do Tzmura, it is a Tzmura. It's to say we're like Rabbi Meir, even a child who inherits a karban, if he does Tzmura on that karban, it is Tzmura. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Who's the person we reject? But what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda who says that a child cannot do Tzmura, that an heir cannot do Tzmura? Answers the Gemara, Yalif Tchilas Hekdesh Misof Hekdesh. He links and derives the initiation of holiness, what begins to make something holy, Tzmura. Tzmura makes that other animal holy as the very start. From smicha, which is the end of holiness. Once something is holy and it's in the Beit HaMikdash, the last thing the owner does is he leans on it. So he derives the smicha, the culmination of what the hekdesh leads to, from the tchilas hekdesh, the initiation of hekdesh. And therefore he says like this, Masof hekdesh yoresh eino someich. Since I know, we're going to see how Rabbi Yehuda knew this. Since I know that an heir, someone who inherits a carbon that his father made holy, does not do smicha, he doesn't lean on it. After chilas hekdesh, so too in the beginning of hekdesh, yoresh, if somebody is an inheritor of a sacrifice, he didn't make it holy himself, eino meimir, he doesn't have the ability to create the tzmura dynamic. Usmicha gufa minon. Now, how do you know this point? That the sof hekdesh, at the end of the holiness, the child who inherits that which his father created doesn't have the ability to lean on the animal. So the answer is based on a pasuk. Tlasa karban oksiv. In regards to the karban shlamim, the Torah uses the phrase karbano, his karban, three times. It says, shlamim karbano min abakar. Or if karbano lezevacha shlamim min atzon karbano. Im eiz karbano. It says three times the word karbano, his sacrifice. So why did it say three times about the shlamim, his sacrifice? So Chad wants to teach you one law, karbano, his sacrifice. V'lo karban oved kochavim, that his sacrifice he gets to lean on, but if a Gentile makes an animal a shlamim, and the Gentile brings it to the Beit HaMikdash, the Gentile doesn't get to lean on it. He doesn't have a law of smicha. Second, karbano, the low karban chaveiro. He gets to lean on his karban, but not on his friend's karban. Let's say somebody sends somebody, take my animal, which is a karban, bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. So if he sends a shaliach, the shaliach can't lean on it, because it's not karbano, it's not his karban, it's somebody else's karban. So he can't lean on it. And the third, karbano, he gets to lean on his karban, the low carbon aviv, but he can't lean on the carbon of his father. If his father made it holy and he inherited it from his father, he doesn't have the right to lean on it. So again, let's review. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that if a child inherits his father's carbon, he can't do tmura, unlike our Mishnah, because he says tmura is the beginning of sanctification. That's compared to smicha, to the leaning on a carbon, which is the end of sanctification. And since the verse says in regards to smicha karbano, he gets to lean on his karban, the low karban aviv, not to lean on his father's karban. So you see that the end of sanctification, he doesn't get to lean. Therefore, the beginning of sanctification too, the tmura, he doesn't get to do if it was on his father's animal, not his animal.
Even if his father passed away?
Exactly. That's when the case is. When his father passed away?
He cannot lean on it either.
He can't lean on the carbon in the Beit HaMikdash, and he can't create a tzmura from that carbon.
So the first initial law is that you have to own the animal before you make it holy, right?
100%. For sure, yeah. So now, this is all the view of Rabbi Yehuda, unlike our Mishnah. We, though, paskin that a person, our Mishnah, though, says that anyone could do tzmura, even someone who inherits. Ulu Rabbi Meir, now according to Rabbi Meir, who said, someone who inherits can do tzmura, and someone who inherits can lean on a karban. To Amar, who says, Yo Resh Somech, someone who inherited the karban can lean on it. Ivok Siv Karban, no, but the verse says, his karban, which he just read means to say, his karban, and not the karban of his father. So how do you know that a Yo Resh can lean on it? So he'll say, listen, karbano, below karban aviv, there is no such drasha. That third karbano is used for something else. Hahumi boyele, that he needs lerabos to teach you. Kobali chovrin lesmicha. Let's say there are five people who own a karban together. Five partners own an animal, and they all agree we're going to make the animal holy. So now, when that animal is brought, how many smichas do we do? So the idea is each one does smicha. Because each one it's karbano. Each one it's his sacrifice. The Torah says his sacrifice. So each one is an owner in the sacrifice. Each one does smicha. So how do you know that? That's from the word karbano. That's what Rabbi Meir uses karbano for. But he doesn't have karbano to exclude an heir. Rabbi Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that law? Rabbi Yehuda uses karbano to exclude an heir. So Bali chovim l'smicha, this idea that when you have five partners, they each do smicha, Leslie disagrees with it. He says that no, that if five partners own an animal and they make it holy, no, there's no smicha at all. My time, a wide, alomiyachet carbon to do. No one has a single ownership. No one can say, this is my animal. It's owned by five people. They're partners. Since there's no one single owner, no one gets to do smicha. There's no obligation of smicha at all.
If one out of five doesn't want to make it holy, that would be doing it.
Then it wouldn't become holy.
It would not be.
Right.
Even four out of five, they want it.
I think so.
The majority doesn't.
Yeah, I think you'd need all five.
Depends on the
bylaws of the LSU. Absolutely. Alternatively, I could tell you. Lolam Isle. Rabbi Yehuda also holds that if there are five partners in a karban, they each need to do smicha. However, karban ovid kochavim, a karban of a Gentile, that there's no smicha on that, the karban chaveron, that there's no smicha on a karban that you don't own, that you were sent to bring. Michad kra nafka. That's all learned from one pasuk. Why? Because as Rashi points out, there's another verse that says, B'nei Yisrael somchin, the Jewish people do smicha, v'samchu b'nei Yisrael sidayem. So that tells you Jews do smicha, not non-Jews do smicha. So of course a non-Jew that he himself couldn't do smicha, we know from that verse, with some Bnei Israel. So what did we need a verse karbano? They say that a non-Jew can't even send a Jew to do smicha for him. But that we already learned from another word, karbano. You can only do smicha on his karban, not on the karban that was sent, that you were sent to do for. So therefore, to exclude a non-Jew from smicha, we don't need this verse. We had that from V'samchu B'nei Yisrael. To exclude a non-Jew shaliach is the same source that excludes a Jew shaliach. So really, one karbano is to exclude someone else's karban, meaning whether it's a Jew's that's someone else or the non-Jew's the someone else. Then you have another karbano to say that every partner gets to do smicha. And the third karbano is to say that you do smicha on your karban, but not on the karban that you inherited from your father. Now he has an extra karbano for the partners. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda, who we disagree with, says an heir, a child who inherits his father's karban, can't do smicha. Why? From the word. The word is karbano. He does smicha on his karban. That tells you on his karban, not on his father's karban. So since a child can't do smicha on his father's karban, a child also can't create tzmura with his father's karban, because the beginning of kedusha, tzmura, is linked to the sof kedusha, the end of kedusha. So that's Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a child cannot do smicha and cannot do tzmura. Rabbi Meir disagrees, and that's our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, hakom imir, and everybody can do tzmura. A child who inherits a father's karban can do tzmura on it. And a child who inherits a father's karban also apparently can do smicha on it. Rabbi Meir damar yorish meimir my time. Rabbi Meir says that a child who inherits his father's karban, he can do tzmura. What is his reasoning? Am lachasi, he'll tell you there's a verse. The verse says, Im hamer yamer. If he will do tzmura, he'll do tzmura. So it repeats the word tzmura. It's true if it said im hamer, if he'll do tzmura. Why say im hamer yamer? The repetition, the extra word is to include. So what's it including? Lirabos hayoresh, to include that you can do tzmura, even if you are a child who's inheriting your father's karban, even though you didn't make it holy in the first place. Your father made it holy, and then Nebuch the father passed away without bringing it, so the child inherits it. The child can do tzmura on it. Okay, so once you know that a child can do tzmura, because of hamer yamer, because of the extra word, the yalif sofakdesh, then Rabbi Meir derives smicha, the culmination of kedusha, mitchilas hekdesh, from the beginning of kedusha, matchilas hekdesh, just like this, the beginning of kedusha, tmura, yoresh meimir, a child who inherits can do tmura, av sofakdesh, so too what happens at the end of something being holy, namely when it's already in the temple, that you lean on it, yoresh somecha, yoresh can do smicha. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with these two laws. He believes that a child cannot do tzmura, and he believes a child cannot do smicha. Hai vim hamer yamir, my avile. What's he going to do with the extra word yamir? We said the extra word yamir is to say that a child can do smicha, can do tzmura. He disagrees. He says a child can't do tzmura. So he'll tell you, l'rabos, as ha'isha, that's to include a woman, that a woman can do tzmura. Okay, the tani is that we learned in a braisa. The whole section about tzmura in Parshas Bechukosai talks about males, right? It says lo yachlifenu, doesn't say lo tachlifenu, lo yamir, not lo tamir, but lo yamir also. So it talks about in the masculine form of Hebrew. So isha minayin, how do we know that a woman also can do tzmura? And if she does tzmura, there are all the laws of tzmura that both animals are holy, and she gets lashes. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says. Vim hamer yamir, the extra word yamir. Le rabos ha'isha, to include a woman. All right, so one second. Rabbi Meir used hamer yamir to include an heir, someone who inherits. Le Rabbi Meir isha minalan. How does he know that a woman can do tzmura? Nafkale, he learns it from vi'im. He could have said im hamer yamir. It says vi'im hamer yamir. There's an extra vav. The extra vav is to include women. Rabbi Yehuda ve'im lo darish. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, an extra vav doesn't teach you anything. Could have, that's just, you know, the language of the Torah. So that's not so extraneous to teach you anything. So he needs hamer yamir to include women.
So which one is the halacha?
I think Rabbi Meir. That's our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. I would think Rabbi Meir.
So women are allowed then?
Well, everybody says women can do tzmura. Even a child who inherits can do tzmura. Even the heir can do tzmura. Now, Uben Rabbi Meir, Ben Rabbi Yehuda, both according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we need to include women from some source. Either we include women from the Vav of the Im, that's Rabbi Meir, or we include women from Yamir, Hamer Yamir. Why did it say the word Yamir? It's one second. Time of the Rabbi Kra, Leisha, we needed a pasuk to include women. Hello, Rabbi Kra, if the pasuk would not have included women, what? Hav aminu ki hav the tzmura lo lakya. I would have thought that when a woman tries to do tzmura, she doesn't get lashes, she's not violating anything, because the verse is in the masculine tense, and her tzmura didn't take effect. What do you mean? I've am reviewed the marab, but we know the review is the name of Rav. But we learned in the Brisa from Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, the Torah says about a man, a person who steals, isha or isha, a man or a woman, he asumi kol chatosa, if they do any of these terrible sins, to swear falsely, they'll be guilty. So why does it say man or a woman? Mikol chatos adam, from all the sins. The Torah says that a woman is included with man in all the prohibitions and punishments of the Torah. So tomorrow there's a prohibition. So she's included. The Gemara says, no, I would have felt like this. It's trich. I would have said, when is a woman included like a man in everything? A type of a prohibition that applies to men. It also applies to women. If when it applies to men, it applies to individuals and to groups. But in regards to tmura, this is a punishment that doesn't apply to all. It's not because the Mishnah is going to say, inatzibur v'ashutfin osin tmura. That if a whole group, or even a bunch of partners, try to do tmura, they say about their animal that they own is in a partnership. The other one's in its place, the other one's exchanged for it. The tmura didn't take effect, they don't get lashes. So I say this is a prohibition, it's not a normal prohibition. It doesn't apply to everyone, it doesn't apply to groups, it only applies to individuals. So then maybe isha navi ki avar lalaki, maybe it doesn't apply to women either, because it says lo yachli fenu, it doesn't say lo tachli fenu. That's what kamashwa, that's what I needed to have, an inclusion for women, either the word yamir, or the vav of the word vi'im. Okay, so that completes the discussion of the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah taught us that there is such a thing as tmura. Anyone who does tmura, anyone who tries to swap a holy carbon for some secular animal, say that other animal will become the holy carbon will now become secular, it doesn't work, both animals are holy, and the person gets lashes. This applies to men and to women. The Mishnah says it applied to everyone. So what did the Mishnah try to, what's it teaching us by saying it applies to everyone? It's teaching us it even applies to a son who inherits the carbon that his father made. Even though he didn't make it holy, the father made it holy, he's just inheriting what his father made. Once he owns it, he can make tmura. If he made tmura, both are holy, he gets lashes. And the Mishnah is saying that we are agreeing with Rabbi Meir and not agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, who didn't agree with this law. Okay, now we move on to a new question. So a whole series of questions about tmura. Please.
If you do it, here are your...
Here are the ramifications. You get punished and both are holy. Yes, you're not allowed to do it. And if it was done, then both are holy. And you get lashes.
And you're fine.
There's no fine. He lost the other animal. He was trying to get back the holy animal and could put something in its place.
Where else can we say that you can't do it? But if you do it, here all
there's going to be a big discussion about that on Daf Dalet. That's a big discussion. Why? Because he maybe he did. He's not aware of the law. Yeah, he's not aware of the law, and he thinks. Right, he thinks he's going to get back the good animal and give to Beit HaMikdash a lesser animal, and he ends up now with both animals going to Beit HaMikdash. That's what he would want to do. So now a bunch of questions. First question. Boy, Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama had a question. Katan Ma'u Shiyamir. What about a minor? Can a minor, someone who's very young, create Tmura? If he, I mean, he obviously doesn't get punished for it. He doesn't get lashes because minors are not included in any punishments. But would it make the second animal also holy? So if he does, what's the case? Even because of Gilonas Nadarm, if he's a child who's younger than 12, a boy who's younger than 12, who can't make any vows, Loti Bayalach, of course it's not a question. He can't create Kedusha. He can't say, you know, this table is Hekdesh or this animal is Hekdesh, because that's based on a neder. He can't create Nedarim. He's younger than 12. Certainly he can't create Tzmura. The question of Rami Barcham was the following. Let's say he's a minor. He's not 13, but he's old enough to be able to create vows. It's what we call Mufla Samachlish. He's 12. And he understands what a vow is. He understands God. He understands the responsibility. So he has an ability to create vows. Can he create tmura? Do we say, came with the marmar, since we've learned before. The verse says, Ish ki afli neder be'erkach ha'nefashos la'ashem. Ish matzav alom ki afli neder. Why does it say man? And then it goes on to say, who will express it out? So we learned back in Masechet Erechin, L'rabos muflas ha-mechlish, that if a person is 12 years and a day, and he understands what the vows mean, he understands God, he understands the responsibility, to kadosh kadosh, if he makes things hekdesh, it is hekdesh. So v'dakdu she makdesh, since he can create vows, and he can create a vow of sanctification, emurinami meimer, maybe he also has the ability to create tzmura, and if he creates tzmura, even the labaronchin who bitzmura lo mitfis, since he's not someone who has the ability to get punished for it, because he's not an adult yet, he's 12, he also doesn't create tzmura. Because again, the verse says, lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oso, he cannot exchange it. He's not allowed to do this swap. And if he did it, v'imamer yamir v'yahu tzmurasu yakodesh, both are holy. So it sounds like the effect of both being holy is linked on the prohibition of lo yachlifenu. So if he's younger than 13, he doesn't have really the doesn't have the ability to create the effect of ayahu tmurasu yakodesh. All right, that was one question. All right, let's assume imtim salomer, if you're going to assume katan avit tmura, a child who's a minor can create tmura. That a child who owns a karban, who says this other animal isn't a swap for this animal, both become holy. Why? Because he is included in lo yachlifenu da asi lechlal onshin, because eventually he'll grow up and eventually he will be 13. So now the question is like this: Ovid kochavim maushiyami. What about a non-Jew? If a non-Jew makes a karban, and now he wants to swap it, does that law happen that if he tried to swap, both are holy? Me, I mean, do we say midik dushi makdish from the fact that a non-Jew can create things and make them holy? The Tanya's Linton of Brisa, the verse says about sacrifices. Ish, ish. Matuman lomer ish, ish. Why did it repeat the word ish? The rabbis has over kochavim to say that even a non-Jew, shenodin adarim unadavos ki Yisrael, they can make holy things, they can make an animal a sacrifice like a Jew. So maybe a muri nami meimir, maybe they also have the ability to make the swaps. Odomer, maybe came into loasi lechlal onshin, since he is never going to have this law, because the non-Jews have seven mitzvos, one of them is not tmura, so they're never going to be punished for this law, they never have the prohibition, so ki yavit tmura lo kacha, if he tries to do the swap, it doesn't make both holy, because he doesn't have the lo yachlifenu, he doesn't have the rest of the verse of v'hayahu utmura so yiyah kodesh. That's our question. Amar Rava, Rava tried to bring a proof, tashma, come in here for the following braisa, the tani really didn't braisa, kacha yovle kochavim. If a non-Jew made a sacrifice holy, lo nanin, no one else is allowed to get benefit from them, to for themselves, the lo mualin ban, but if somebody did take benefit from them, it would not be a violation of me'ila. Ve'en chayavan alehen, and if the Kohen, when doing the sacrifice, had a thought, I'm going to eat it at the wrong time, or they left the meat of the sacrifice out past its term, you know, after, let's say 2 days late, for they left it out for 2 days if it's a shlamim, or they made a tameh, and there is no prohibition, mishum, pigol nosar v'tameh, someone who eats it wouldn't get the kares for eating pigol, or nosar, or tameh, ein osin tmura, and this animal that the non-Jew made a sacrifice, there is no tmura to it. The ain may be in nesachim. A non-Jew also doesn't have the ability to bring just nesachim, just wine. Avol karbanotan nesachim. But if he's bringing a shlamim, the shlamim gets accompanied with wine. Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that's what Rabbi Shimon says. Rabbi Yossi says no. Bekulan, in regards to all these things that you said, let's say that there's no pigul, no sarantameh, and there's no me'ila. I disagree. Bekulan, ani roa lahachmir, there is me'ila, there is pigul, no sar, and tameh. Continues the Brisa now with Rabbi Shimon. Bamedvar Mamurim, when is this true that there's no Mi'ila? Because Shem is Beach, if the non-Jew made an animal a sacrifice. But if the non-Jew made an item holy for the temple trust, Mualin Behen, there would be Mi'ila. Katanimia, it did, however, say that Ein Osin Tzmura, that if the non-Jew has an animal which is a karban, there is no Tzmura to it. So that's the resolution. There's no Tzmura. So the Gemara says, no, Rami Bar Chama will tell you, if a non-Jew makes the animal holy for himself or for some other non-Jew, You're right, then certainly there's no tzmura, since he's never going to have lo yachli fenu. He doesn't have prohibitions of this nature. He doesn't have the power to affect another animal becoming holy. Ki kami boili, what is my question? Let's say a non-Jew sees that there's a Jew who needs to bring a sacrifice. He says, I'll give you my animal. So he made it holy, but the owner of it is the Jew, right? Just like we had with the heir, the inheritor, right? Someone else made it holy, but this guy owns it now because he inherited it. So here, the one who made it holy was a non-Jew, but the one who owns it, who's really getting benefit from it, is a Jew. So now, this is our question. Basar Maktish Hazlina, do we follow the one who made it holy? So then, since he's not going to have Lo Yachli Fenu, he doesn't have the ability to make it Tzmura. O Basar Miskap Razina, do we say we follow the one who it's for, the one who owns it, and he's going to get atonement? So since he's a Jew, the Jew has Lo Yachli Fenu, maybe there is the possibility of doing Tzmura with it. So the Gemara answers from a tradition. Tifshutleh, let's resolve it. Either Rabbavo, from Rabbavo, Dom Rabbavo, Rabbi Yochlan, Rabbavo, and then Rabbi Yochlan, three laws. Hamaktish Mosav Chomesh. Any person who makes something holy and then he buys it back from Hektish has to add a fifth to its value. All right, that's law number one. Law number two, Miskaper Oset Tzmura. What determines Tzmura is the person who's getting the atonement from it. So if Yaakov makes an animal holy for Reuven, if Reuven says, well, this animal is made holy for me, for my needs, and I want to swap this animal with something else, both animals become holy. So that should be the resolution to the question. And finally, Vatorim Shalo, if a person wants to give some of his fruits, Al Shem Chaveiro, in order to be the Chuma for his friends, Tevel, Tovasana Shalo, he's the one who has the right to choose which Kohen gets that Shuma. So you see, Miskaper Osa Tzmura. So if a Miskaper Osa Tzmura, if a non-Jew made it holy for the Jew is the Miskaper, he can make Tzmura. So the question is, maybe not. Amarle, he will tell you like this. Awesome over there, Utakasim Koach Yisrael. It's a Jew making a carbon for another Jew. So therefore, they're all people who have the laws of Lo Yachli Fenu. So they also have the results that if they try to do Chalifin, they're both holy. Then we see that the one who really determines the Tmura will be the one who it's for. Because it's all being done by Jews. But over here, I have the following question. Do we need from the beginning till the end that it has to be in the hands of a person who has the prohibition? Or maybe it's enough that just at the end it's in the hands of the person who has the prohibition of Tzmura. The answer is taker. We don't know the answer to this question. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.